It was really a good thing for us to get that budget to hire folks, and we calculated that we needed to hire up to 1,200 people. The senior leadership of the agency set a target of 1,000, and that was sort of our goal. And so we set out to do just that and had to do a lot of things, overcome a lot of challenges to be able to make that happen.
How close did you get to that 1,000?
We exceeded 1,000. Last count, we were at 1,022. We're still looking at the data, checking EOD dates, and expect that we'll end somewhat north of 1,020.
The HUD workforce, it's been well known that you guys have a type of workforce that stays forever in a good way. You have an experienced workforce, but the curve, the baby boomer curve, is people expected it to hit HUD fairly hard. When I've talked to people who've left HUD, it's like, oh, well, they've been at HUD for 30 years or 40 years, and you're just amazed because they love the mission and they love the agency. What kind of retirement wave did you see? I mean, a lot of threat government, it's more like drips and drabs, but at HUD was a much bigger wave.
We had quite a few folks that leave us. In fiscal year 14 alone, we have lost about 700 people from our ranks, and most of those were due to retirees.
And Tawanda, let me turn to you for a second. What are you seeing from your perspective as the Deputy Chief Human Capital Officer as it relates to the turnover? Mike also mentioned that it's not just people who retired, but some of the younger folks too have left. So that adds another complication or complexity to this initiative.
Our employees get extremely good training in their fields, and they become very marketable for other agencies. And there are a lot of other agencies out there that are on pay bandit systems that they can actually earn a lot more money outside of the GS system. So that's one thing. And the other thing is, through some of our transformation initiatives, we've offered VeriVSIP, which is the Early Retirement Authority. And a lot of people have taken that opportunity to go out on early out. So that's another major initiative.
Roughly how many people took the early out?
One of the initial waves was about 47 people, and we're actually on the second wave. So I don't have the absolute numbers for those yet, but we'll have those very soon.
And do you foresee having a third wave or a fourth wave, or is that too early to tell?
Some of our program offices are considering VeriVSIP as a way to restructure their workforce. So we are expecting additional VeriVSIP requests to come in.
Now, with this influx of people, are they all at the bottom end, meaning the younger side, or are they a mix of middle, older, younger types of, you know, in terms of been in the workforce for so long? Because I think one thing that a lot of agencies have talked about is they have this bathtub effect. You probably have heard of that as from the Chico Council, where they have a lot of young, a lot of people have been in the government for a long time, but not a lot in the middle. Were you guys able to stay away from that bathtub effect?
Well, actually, because we had so many positions to advertise and types of jobs within our entire organization, we were able to advertise positions at every grade level. So we've attracted new people to the federal government. We've attracted people from other federal agencies that have the experience and the life experience. And then we've also brought in veterans that have either retired from the military or are coming out of the military looking for opportunity. So I think this time around for HUD, our diversity of age levels, background, and experience, we'll be able to report out on that later, but I think we'll show a truly diverse workforce.
Did you have a sense that HUD was in that bathtub? Too many people toward the end of their career, meaning in the 20, 30, 40 year range, and fewer people, but still the vast majority of the rest of them were on that 5 to 7 year work time frame. Did you find that? Did you have that bathtub effect, or over the years, knowing that HUD definitely has people who stay for a long time, you've slowly been addressing it?
We've been slowly addressing it because over the last few years, we have not been able to hire as many people. So the hiring has been really targeted. Last year, of course, we had sequestration furloughs, so we weren't able to hire like we did this year. So this year we did a lot more planning. Our offices, program offices, were able to really look at what they needed to hire, experience levels, and they planned for it. So I think what we will see is that the age level, the group, the diversity of the applicants will be a mix. So we'll have not only the people who have less than 5 years, we'll have some of those. We'll have a lot more people in the 10 to 15 year career range because we're getting requests for leave accrual, which is mid-level managers requesting additional leave. So we're able to monitor some of that through, and that shows that we're getting some experienced people. And then we're also recruiting at our senior executive level. So we're getting both internal to the federal government, external to HUD, but then also from the private sector. So we're seeing a lot lot of interest in HUD for career opportunities.
What types of positions were you hiring for, Tawanda?
That was one of the most fantastic things because we have mission critical occupations and we have the federal wide. But we had management and program analysts, we had financial analysts, housing program assistants, public housing director jobs throughout the country, portfolio management specialist, account executives, housing program specialists. We did a lot of student trainee jobs this summer for summer interns, and that was a major coup for the agency because we had not done any major student hires. So we were able to do some summer intern positions, contract specialists, appraisers, single family housing specialists, underwriters, realty specialists, you name it, we did it. Senior program or project managers. So we had a extremely diverse. I think we probably advertised almost every series within the agency during this hiring fair.
Not everybody was at headquarters. It sounds like you hired around the country too. So it wasn't just a boom in the DC metro area. It sounds to me like it was a boom wherever you guys have offices and needs.
Yes. And actually, it was about half and half, half headquarters and half field. And so this was extremely good for our field offices to be able to fill some of their jobs. And I think it was an engaging opportunity for employees in the field, managers in the field, to actually be able to fill positions that have probably been vacant for quite some time.
Let me turn back to Mike for a sec. When you guys went down this path, did you get any special hiring authorities? Did you go to OPM and say, to bring in this many people in this short of a time, we need some help?
No, we use conventional hiring process through USA Staffing, USA Jobs, but we also use what was available to us. We didn't get any additional special authorities out of OPM, but there are some that exist already through Veterans Preference and PMFs and Peace Corps, so we took advantage of every tool and opportunity for hiring that exists out there. Because we had some big challenges to overcome. Number one, we were on understaff. We had not backfilled our HR specialists in recruiting and staffing for a few years. Number two, we had a new hiring system that we were implementing this year. It wasn't the best time to implement it, but it was planned long ago, and so it just happened to fall in this year that the implementation took place. So it was a steep learning curve with that new hiring system. And then number three, just collaborating with our internal partners, getting beyond the finger pointing, embracing each other in the process of hiring. It took an agency-wide effort. And I do want to recognize our senior leadership for owning this process. The secretary himself came to speak with the HR specialists to encourage and admonish them to do their best work. And he also showed up at a PMF job fair that we did with OPM. OPM was a good partner in this process in that they allowed HUD to host two separate PMF job fairs. And so we're grateful for the collaboration and the partnership with OPM.
You talked about the new hiring system. HUD was put out there a number of years ago when this administration, the Obama administration, came in and talked a lot about hiring reform and cutting back the number of days it took to bring somebody on. I think HUD was one of those agencies that really had made a lot of progress. And it took something, if I remember this correctly, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, it used to be like 145 days to get someone on board, and you had cut it down to under 100, and maybe it's further. What was your average time to get people on board? Was it much better? Let me turn to Tawanda.
So our average hiring time right now, as of August, 72.80 days for bringing people on board, which is pretty significant. We actually worked together in the initial part of this hiring, once our budget was passed, to come up with a strategy to make sure that we could bring the hires on by September. So we worked through the hiring process and we modified the 80-day hiring process and actually came up with a 97-day process, because by the time we got the hiring plans to the end of September, we figured we had 97 days. So we mapped out all of our hiring and gave our program offices specific deadlines that they had to meet in order for us to assure them that they could get their hires done. And I think that was a major deal for us. So we are actually at 72.8, which we were pretty proud of.
A lot of times when it comes to hiring in federal government, there's this chicken or the egg thing. Is it the HR office or is it the program manager, the hiring manager, who's slowing down the process? And there's always that kind of necessary collaboration that sometimes happens and sometimes doesn't. How did you ensure that collaboration happened? Because in the end, your office, the Chico office, can only do so much.
Well, one of the major things that we did, we actually outlined the hiring process back in March 2014, and we went through the process of synthesizing it and working with the general deputy assistant secretaries and officials in the agency to see if they were amenable to what we were proposing. So I think one of the things was getting the buy-in on the plan and the timelines for each stage of the process. And the next step was to meet with a lot of the program offices, the administrative officers, their selecting officials, and getting their buy-in that they would actually play a part in learning the new system, helping us develop the questions, getting the whole process together. So it was that teamwork and that collaboration that was supremely important in this whole process. It was one of the things that made it work. We, as a human capital organization, couldn't have done it without the selecting officials planning their summers out. And that was one of the things, too, during interviews during the summertime when people are going on vacation. So we had to be very precise about how we advertised the jobs, when the jobs were advertised, and when managers would plan to interview. So it was very collaborative. We had customer meetings with them weekly, and then we moved to biweekly once we were able to really track and provide that. So I think the collaboration and teamwork and the ownership that the selecting officials or supervisors here at HUD took, they should be commended for that because they did a great job.